All right, Therapy Thursday is where we give you 60 seconds of brilliance, or at least we try. We got Doc Rocca in the building. We got myself, Orlando BGYN. We got Dr. Davi. We talked to Meredith MD. She'll be back next week. She has another week of home, and she appreciates all the messages. We're going to share all those with her. But if you have a question on any case, we'll find the answer and try and give it to you in a way that would probably be surrounded by some stupidity, but there's some facts in there.
Yeah.
888-429-0941 if you want to call. Or text Dr. Davi. You're first up.
Okay.
It says, Dr. Davi, I just graduated from high school. And you talk about uneventful, no graduation, no graduation ceremony, no graduation party. So this is depressing. Now even more depressing, I don't have any idea what I want to do. How did y'all find radio? It seems like you found your calling, and I don't know what mine is.
That's okay. You don't have to know exactly what it is that you want to do immediately. I think if you're looking for your calling, what you need to do is find out what it is you're passionate about. Figure it out. For me personally, it was music. And I went through a couple different avenues in music before I found radio. I wanted to be an artist, wanted to be a producer. At one point, I wanted to work for a record label. But once I stepped into the broadcast studio, this studio that I'm sitting in right now, that was the biggest light bulb moment for me. That's when it all made sense. And that's when I really figured it, like, this is where I need to be. This is what I want to do. And it was honestly when I was least expecting it. I didn't expect to walk into here and have that epiphany. So I would say follow your interests, look for things that you're passionate about. And being so young, you can make a living off of your passion. Whatever it is, if you are the best at it, you can absolutely support yourself. So do what you love and the rest will kind of fall into place.
Let's point out that Davi used epiphany. First of all, just point that out there. And also, you, when you said you can live off your, you said something with a P.
Your passion.
Passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said you can live off your passion. And I thought you was getting ready to say you can live off your parents. Cause I was going to agree with you. You can live off your parents for this short time. And while you're doing that, just to echo what Davi said, while you're doing that, experience as much as possible, because internship, apprenticeship, experiences, those things can help you find your path. I found my path by an internship, just stumbling into a radio station and seeing it. Davi came in the room, saw it. Like, until you see it, you can't believe it. You don't even know those things are an option. So get at it.
Preach.
Get out there and experience as much as you can, because you'll find your way and then backdoor your way into it. And if your parents can be around to make sure you got them Uncrustables on deck, you know, then you could live off them PB&Js while you're trying to find your hustle. So get that.
Oh, I got a text for you that came in out the 941. You have to tread lightly with this one, though. It says, okay. Orlando, my girl has terrible breath. Like, it's bad. She brushes. She flosses. She uses mouthwash. Nothing helps. She even goes to the dentist, not for her breath, but just for her regular cleanings. She's diligent about it. I don't want to lose her. How do I bring this up without hurting her feelings, or do I bring it up at all?
Okay, let me tell you, I've lived that.
Really?
And I tried not to bring it up, and then it became a thing. There was a club called Liquid Blue, and I met this girl who was fine, way too fine for me to holler at. And she approached me at the club, and when she talked to me, I was kind of like not up on her. And then by the end of the night, we was dancing and I was up on it, and it was this funk. I was like, what is that? Is she musty? And then like the next day when I met her, her breath was kicking.
Mm.
And then every time we linked up, it was like, wow. Like, I remember she was like in my room and rolled over to say something to me. And we wasn't asleep. It was just like we was laying there, and she said something that hit the pillow and bounced up. And I'm like, God dang. So I realized that it was a halitosis thing. And sometimes people have it in their system. So going to the dentist, that's good. You know, going to brush the teeth and have a good dental care is good. But sometimes some people have it in their DNA. They have it in their body and something is wrong. So, you know, you could be helping her by telling her, and not just suffering through it, because you ain't gonna be able to take it that long. Because I had to stop hanging out with her because it was just like I had a frown on my face all the time. so you're not gonna be able to fake it that long. So help her if you really want to be down. Help her get it fixed and say, hey, you know, stumble across it on a website. You know what I'm saying? Like find that site first, and then while y'all sitting there, stumble across it and be like, hey, look at this. This is, you know what? If you got this checked, you know what? And have her help out that way. You know, but you definitely got to try and help.
And we usually don't take advice off the text, but we got a text that says, tongue scraper, it has made all the difference in the world for my fiance.
It's very true. It's very true. Because you get a tongue scraper and you start using that, it helps out as well. And there's a concoction that helps with that too, which is like some lemon juice and something that you can wash your mouth out with. These are all things, but halitosis is like not just bad breath. It's like something can be inherently wrong with you inside.
Oh.
That is, you know, your body is basically telling you something when you got just that fire. So when you breathe in fire, you can't be a dragon whispering at nobody. You just can't do it. So help it out. People are hitting us like we so wild. Like, yeah. I mean, listen, we just being real. It's Therapy Thursday. We trying to help you out, man. 60-second sessions. Come on now.
Speaking of being wild, we have one for Raka right here.
Ooh, that's
yeah.
It says, Raka, my girlfriend wants sex at random times of the day when we're both home from work. When I say no, she gets furious. How often should I have to give it up?
Well, first and foremost, you don't want to just give it up when like you don't feel comfortable or you're not in the mood to. That's totally fine. You don't have to have sex every single time. I would say maybe plan some like a nice little like night. Start it off with a Netflix and chill, or maybe some dinner at home. How often you should give it up is how often you feel comfortable giving it up. I haven't been in a relationship in a long time, so I don't have sex often. But I feel like the average number that I hear couples have sex a week is what? Like maybe 3-4 times a week?
Don't ask Davi that question.
For working couples that work all day or have
different
schedules?
Meredith learned, and I'm going to tell you, don't ask Davi that question. his numbers are skewed. Don't do that. Don't do that.
One thing that I think, Raka, you might be failing to realize from the other perspective is women get furious when they get turned down for sex. Men, we're used to. We get turned down all the time. But if you turn down your girlfriend, your wife, 10 times out of 10, it's going to lead into a fight.
But what if he's tired? What if he had a long day and...
Don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter. Like, man, I don't matter. It's like when women, Raka, you are young enough to remember you have been taught at a young age to say no.
Yes.
You were built to say no. And women were built to say no. Boys were built to ask.
Right.
So we have been used to being here, hearing no from the beginning. So when you say no, all right, I'll just ask you tomorrow. You don't want to be insensitive. A man says no to a woman, she has an attitude. You ain't getting hot grits the next morning. You're not getting a home-cooked meal the next day. She's going to have an attitude. You got a back, you better bring it. That's just it. That's the way it go. You better get to work, because she going to know that as a sexual being who has been turning down people since she was at the age of 15, 16, 17, if you ain't asking, she think you doing something else. And now it's going to turn into the risque song with her smelling your business when you come home.
Mm.
So you just better go ahead and give it to her.
True.
It's true. All right, Rocker, you got one. You ready? Back to back. It says, Doc Rock, as a woman around a lot of men, is there any shorts that you have to take in dealing with male jokes and everything? I'm not saying a Me Too thing, but just being a woman in my situation, because I work in a garage around a lot of guys, I just had to ask because it is kind of difficult to deal with.
As a woman being around a lot of men, especially in a job where it is male dominated, the best way you can handle those type of jokes or comments that you're not comfortable with is when it's said to you, ask them or tell them, I don't get it. And then that kind of already turns the joke off. And once you have somebody trying to say something appropriate to you and you ask them to explain it, that then they're going to be like, oh, well, I guess it isn't that funny to you. And that also is able for you to set that boundary for men to not come at you crazy and not disrespect you, especially at work. So I feel like
that makes sense.
Once you ask them, like, hey, explain the joke to me, I don't get it. And then they start, oh, well, and they stumble into how inappropriate it actually is, then they're not going to tell you those jokes anymore.
Is it hard? I mean, I'm not trying to set you up, but I'm like, you do. Wild is a diverse kind of group, but
yeah,
radio in general is a lot more guys than girls. Is it rough? Like what she said, is it rough to be around all us? I mean,
you
that,
guys,
is that a male dominated thing that you do have to take some sort of caveats to, you know,
if the line is crossed too far, then yeah, like I will say something. But like, I know you guys for a couple of years now, and being around you guys, like, I think we kind of know each other's boundaries. So I haven't like experienced that, but if that time ever comes, you'll know.
You'll know. That's good. Stand up for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real. I mean, let me know. Well, as a manager, you definitely got to let me know. I got paperwork.
I have a question for you, Davi.
Okay.
All right. So, Davi, I need an honest guy's perspective. I've been dating this guy for a few months now. We're not exclusive, but we've taken each other pretty seriously. And I keep getting multiple messages from girls coming to me as a woman, one claiming that he has a second baby on the way, and from another chick saying that he's talking smack about me behind my back. He claims these women are crazy and what they're saying isn't true, but I don't know if I buy it. What should I do?
Well, you have to think about what that man owes you. You guys are not in a committed monogamous relationship, so he does not owe you that. He's allowed to go dibble dabble if that's the agreement that you guys have. However, I think he absolutely owes you honesty. If he has a baby on the way, that's a conversation that you guys need to have so you could talk about how we are going to move forward, because it's not just a baby on the way. There's a baby mama right there sitting there too. So if you are okay with being second fiddle, or if you are okay with just keeping this casual thing, cool. If you want something a little deeper, maybe that ship has sailed, but definitely have that conversation. So he doesn't owe you that, you know, just it's just you and me against the world, baby, but he owes you that clear talk.
I agree. That's the least he could do.
That's the least he could do. I have one for you, Orlando. Do we have time? Okay.
Is it out of the 706?
No, this is 831.
I just saw it. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay. It says, what up, Orlando? I was going to write you for confession at 7, but I felt like this was a better forum. My dog bit my neighbor. It was kind of my fault because I left the gate open. I love my dog. I don't want to lose him, but I think he's getting aggressive and I cannot get sued. I just can't afford it. What should I do?
Well, it's too late for that. You can't unring a bell. But yeah, I mean, most people got to realize that you said you left the gate open. Like, you treat a dog like and leave him outside, you know, that's animal. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? You don't want to just leave a dog out there and when they get free, they run.
Right.
And whatever else. You know, there's some training, there's some treatment that has to go with the dog, even if they're a dog that's bigger and whatever else, and there's a protection being. So, I mean, I would definitely go through, before the lawsuit comes or before the medical bills come, I would be proactive and show that you're trying to do better. There's a way that you can get a dog trained. I know Clark Ingram Sit and Stay is a place that I took my dog. My dog Rivers died a few years ago, but my dog was trained. And I knew many people who had dogs who went to that. And I mean, there are many places that train dogs, but I believe in Clark and his daughter and their whole family that teach dogs about, you know, and they don't teach them on treat based, because a lot of people train dogs with treats. And it's like, nah, what about when the treat ain't there? Well, they train them with praise. They're like, you know, when your dog does something good and you give them down, give them that face and give them that praise, they want that. And that's on tap all the time. So I've just learned a few things and they work with you one on one. And I've seen them deliver dogs internationally after training them and helping people, you know, control their dogs. So you have to get control of your dog because your dog is about service. But if you have no training on them and they just run about and end up biting somebody, you're being an irresponsible pet owner. So you have to help them just like children. You don't let your child just run out in the street, so you can't let your dog do so. The gate isn't the issue. The training is the issue. So I would get somebody that you believe in, whether it's Clark Ingram and their family, a sit and stay, or whether it's whomever. But and that ain't an that's an endorsement, but it's not a paid thing. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying my personal experience is that. And find somebody who can help you.
Solid advice.
Yeah, right there. For real. All right, let's see. We got one more.
Do we have time for that last one out the 706?
Yeah, we'll do one more.
Okay,
yeah.
Orlando. This is a good one. Yeah. Orlando. My delivery man at my office asked to get to know me on a personal level. He knows I'm married. I told him I must be respectful, but now he's coming around more and more often, and he said we should get to know each other. What do I do? I'm attracted to him. I keep turning him down, but he's not taking no for an answer. I'm starting to get tempted.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Listen, temptation is the devil, all right? You are married. Don't enter into that unless you're trying to get out of marriage. And if you're trying to get out of marriage, start making those steps. And you know somebody who's interested in you, and it's the delivery dude. When you get divorced, he'll be there. But you can't don't make mess. Don't make mess, because this person knows where you work. This person comes where you work. So anything that you do taboo is going to seem like it's popping. It's right. Going to seem like it's a great opportunity. It's going to seem like it's this awesome thing because it's taboo. If you're on a diet, piece of cake look great. But it's not something that you need to do. It's not something for your betterment. So don't make a mess at your job, because when y'all start arguing in the lobby, trust me, it's going to be a bad look. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very bad look. And with you having a husband and a whole life outside of this man that see you for 5 minutes, when he start trying to see you for 10 minutes, or when he start trying to see you more, and you like, I'm at my job.
Right.
That argument will get you fired and get him replaced and all that other stuff. And it ain't worth it. So be smart. Don't be like, you know, just silly.
Can I add something real quick? When she said in her text, she said, he asked to get to know me on a personal level. He knows I'm married. I told him I must be respectful. I must be respectful is not a no. I must be respectful is kind of leaving the door open for interpretation. I must be respectful could also mean, well, we can't get caught. You know, so that's not a definitive no. That sounds like a maybe to me.
It ain't. It ain't. And you know, and we just learned in the last one, you leave the gate open and the dog bites.
Yeah.
So you leaving the door open, you about to get your ass bit, all right?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.